How's your golf game? Yeah, mine too, but more on that later. It's time for more golf talk on the CDGA Golf Show, your guide to golf around the world and in your neighborhood. The CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000. Now here are your hosts, Mike Gilligan and Tyler Aki.
By Tullamore Golf Resort up North Michigan Golf without the drive. This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000. We talk golf with you every single Saturday right here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. We've got the President's Cup this week, and it'll take place up in Montreal as they take on Royal Montreal Golf Club. And boy, we got a fired up Jim Furyk this week, didn't we?
The U.S.
captain telling some people to go blank themselves.
And I quote.
And you can quote me on that. But yeah, this is one of these things. The Americans have dominated this event time and time again. 14-1-1. And there were some people who were wondering, you know, maybe it would be best for the event if the international team started to pick off a few of these, and Jim Furyk did not like that. He was talking to the media and goes, "Really? You're American? I do actually take offense at that. I don't hate you, but it's a pretty blanky thing to say."
Oh, yeah. And then he went on, and it got even more blue after that.
Yeah.
Which I've met Jim a few different times and been around him, and he is a delightful guy. So very uncharacteristic from my perspective, with Mr. Furyk getting a little unnerved, so to speak. But I'm sure there will be some discussions behind closed doors with him that he needs to be a little bit more, how should I say, tolerant of our media with some
civil
of the ignorant questions. But it's a fair question, because honestly, I go back to like America's Cup and sailing. We dominated that. For the Ryder Cup, we dominated that for a long time. And then they had to open it up to Ireland, from just Great Britain to Ireland. And then they opened it up to Europe. And even then, we were still dominating until we lost. And until we lost America's Cup and sailing. Then Americans sat up and started to take notice of these events. And, you know, this Match Play International President's Cup is interesting because, yes, we've had one tie and one loss in 16 events, and that is utterly dominating. And it's funny, the one time we tied and the one time we lost was when those two captains just decided to pick 6 through 12 and not make any other adjustments, either because of chemistry or because the statistics or data. And we have come out on the short end of that, literally with a loss and once with a tie. And we're set up either hopefully to right those wrongs and finally get a win doing it that way, or we are potentially in a position where we might lose or tie. And on top of it, when I look at the international team, that's a team not to sneeze at or just to say, oh, well, we're just going to roll right over them. And from my perspective, it's going to be interesting to see how Scotty and Xander come to this event prepared, somewhat prepared, or did they just sort of take the last few weeks off and now they're just trying to get their game back into some formidable shape? How serious are they as Americans taking this when we are 14-1-1? And being a Chicagoan, knowing that we are hosting this in 2 years, literally from next week, we become next on the clock. And so, do we as Chicagoans quietly sort of root for international team? Because then Medina is going to be epic. I mean, Medina is always epic.
Yeah.
But this could be a President's Cup like no other. And honestly, I think it's what it could use, because this event is in September. The NFL is still going to be in September. Mm-hmm. And we've already seen what it's done to golf lately in September when you think about Solheim Cup and the rest of them. So, you know, interesting. And I'm not sure even who to pick at this point. Do you have a team? I mean, I know who you want to win.
Right.
But who would you lay your good, hard-earned cash on?
I mean, it's tough to go against the American team. You think, too, about... You know what I kind of liken it to? And you brought up, like, what's going to be the mentality of Scotty and Xander and all of them. Like, Scotty's kind of put it on the line for his country already.
He did.
He came home with a gold medal.
Yes, he did.
And I think about it, too. Like, it almost feels like, you know how youth baseball, you've got the kids who play house league and travel? This almost feels like the house league game. And you get the Ryder Cup, it feels like the travel game, or like the rest of the year is your travel game. This is the kid who's on the travel team going into the house league, kind of screws around a little bit, maybe isn't at his sharpest because he's got bigger fish to fry when he goes and plays travel ball.
Exactly.
That's sort of what this feels like to me. And like, listen, the international competition is nothing to sneeze at. I mean, Hideki Matsuyama closed out on a very, very hot stretch. Tom Kim is one of the best up-and-coming golfers. Sungjae Im was really good down the stretch. Adam Scott is on this immaculate major streak. Jason Day is a very familiar name. It's going to come down to a lot of these captains' picks and how they sort of fare. A couple Canadians on the roster with Corey Connors, Mackenzie Hughes, Taylor Pendrith also. But then you've got guys like Minwoo Lee and Siwoo Kim who could really sort of swing this thing. I just look at like the American captains picks, I just think are significantly better right now. But however, you do have some guys like Max Homa's really struggled. Can Max Homa weigh you down a little bit? Brian Harman, he had his nice moment at the Open Championship last year, but really hasn't done a whole heck of a lot. He's had a couple pop-up tournaments, but he missed out on the Tour Championship this season. Like, I don't know. Like, this does feel like it's gettable, and it's going to come down to, can some of these young up-and-coming guys on the international side make some noise in a team event?
Absolutely. We've got a few guys that this is their first time. They're 0-0-0.
Yeah.
And it'll be interesting to see how our team, from a personality perspective, a leadership perspective, takes to this as either an opportunity. Do they embrace it? Or do they all look at one another going, well, are you going to do it or am I doing it? Because this really isn't me as Scotty. You know, is Scotty going to take Russell Henley under his wing?
Yeah.
I don't know. So I don't, from the personality and the chemistry side of this, he just took the first 12 guys.
Yeah.
Where at least Captain Weir used a lot of analytics, a lot of data to support why he didn't go heavy on his Canadian friends. I think he's taking this extremely seriously and wants more than anything to let Canada be the mark that actually helped revive the President's Cup.
Yeah, and that's exactly where it's taking place as well. So you got to know where the Canadians are. I mean, think about the Canadian Open a couple years ago when Nick Taylor won.
Right.
That place was crazy. When the way that they celebrated for one of their own winning the RBC Canadian Open there on a long putt to take down Tommy Fleetwood, the Canada showed that they could get up for an event like this, and this may be the thing that could a home course type of deal be something that swings this.
I think it is. I think anytime you get a loud momentum, and a lot of this match play is based on momentum. And I think we saw it almost unravel, if you watched it, the Solheim Cup. When the first match out, Charlie Hull takes down Nelly Korda 6-4, that made a mark. And all of a sudden, the Europeans started winning. And there was a point that if the matches would have ended, the Americans would have choked away the Solheim Cup.
Yeah.
They fought tooth and nail coming back, but it did not need to be anywhere as close to what it was. But that is the sheer beauty and nature of match play. And crowd, noise, momentum all kind of comes along with it. But I got a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Who are you predicting as the MVP of the international team and the MVP of the American team? Who are your picks to click in this thing this week?
Are we saying, like, if they're going to win the event,
yes,
this person has to be the MVP. Yes. All right. So on the American side, I would put it on Sahith Theegala.
Ditto.
I he is one of those guys that when he's clicking, he feels like he could be an integral, maybe even like the next sort of JT. Fiery guy, brings a lot of passion to the game. And it's one thing that I was going to ask you too, like, if you had to go out with each of these teams and have a beer with them, I'd probably go out with the international side. Because it seems like a lot of non-personalities on the American side. And when you talk about chemistry, when you just take 1 through 12 here, how is that going to mesh and blend and work together? I think it works together a little bit better on the international side with these guys.
I would agree. And to your point, if I could sneak him into the bar and have a beer with him, it'd be Tom Kim. I just, because he's not, he can't drink yet. But that's a guy that I look, this could be a major stepping stone in Tom Kim's match play career.
Yeah.
And also help him come back in 2025 and 2026 more polished, ready than ever. It almost kind of like what Ludwig Åberg had happened to him.
Yeah.
I think Tom Kim could be that next guy.
Yeah, it's a good comp. I like that. As for like who I would put for a MVP for the international team, I'm kind of between two people here. And they are among captain's picks. Because I feel like you have to, even though Sahith Theegala wasn't a captain's pick, but I feel like on the international side, you probably need one of the captain's picks to be an MVP. I'm torn between a Siwoo Kim and a Minwoo Lee.
Siwoo Kim, by far. He is going to be the guy that is going to be the hinge pin, in my opinion, whether they get into a position to win and can win. I look at him. I just think Tom Kim is going to be the next Ludwig, but I think Siwoo has to be the MVP for this team to win.
Yeah. I mean, those two guys there, they're kind of unpredictable, but when they get rolling, they get rolling. And they've had, like, Siwoo's had a couple of wins on the tour as well. He just barely missed out on the FedEx Cup this year, or for the tour championship this year. So it's just one of those guys. When he's going, he's going. And I feel like the international team, if you're going to take down, because if we're going to go talent for talent here, it's a no contest. They'd stop the fight in the first round. But if we're talking about who can put together a team performance, because it's so different when you are trying to play a team game, you can be, Scotty can go out and shoot a 60, but it only gets you a point.
That's it.
Like, you don't win on margin of victory. Sure, maybe you don't play all your holes and stuff like that, but you don't win on that. And it's only count. It's only good for one. You're not taking a composite score here. So it is a totally different type of game. And I feel like the international side has more players that are sort of ascending, at least from a captain's pick standpoint. And the American side, not as much. Like, Keegan Bradley was really good at the end of the year. Sam Burns has had his moments, especially at the end of the year. He finished runner-up at the BMWs. But like everyone else is kind of like, it wasn't the greatest 2024 for them.
No, but the guy that I am going to keep a very close eye on is Max Homa.
Yeah.
Max Homa.
He's their JT this year.
He has to be. He has to be. He's 4-0-0 in his career in the President's Cup. He was tremendous at the Ryder Cup. I think they need a big lift out of him in the locker room, in the team room, but more importantly, not only on the golf course, but the first tee. Mm-hmm. If I'm the captain.
I remember you said the same thing about JT last year.
Yeah, I march him right out. I march him out and, you know, lay down the gauntlet. Max has that, you know, je ne sais quoi, if you will. I mean, he's funny. He's got social media. He's a recognized guy. I think I put him out front and center, and we go as Max goes.
Yeah. All right. When we come back, we are going to tell you about something cool, something interesting that is happening in the golf world. We're going to talk with Matt Considine, the founder and CEO and director of New Club. We'll tell you all about what that means when we come back. This segment has been brought to you by Tullamore Golf Resort, up North Michigan Golf without the drive.
More golf ahead. The CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. Welcome into the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. Here's your hosts, Mike Gilligan and Tyler Aki.
Segment brought to you by Tour Edge. Tyler Aki and Mike Gilligan with you here on the CDGA Golf Show. Let's head on out now to the Jersey Mike's hotline. Jersey Mike's a sub above, where we find Matt Considine, the founder, CEO, and director of golf for New Club. And he's kind enough to take some time with us here on the CDGA Golf Show. Good morning, Matt. How you doing?
Hey, good morning, Tyler. I'm doing great. How you guys doing?
We're all good here.
Well, we'd probably be better if we were in Hilton Head, but we're in Chicago.
That's right. You know, I'm not there yet, Mike, but I'm on my way. I'm in Rock Hill, South Carolina.
The anticipation of a Hilton Head trip in and of itself, I think, is a better spot than where Mike and I are at right now. But you've got this venture, New Club. Can you just kind of explain to everybody what exactly New Club is?
Yeah, for sure. In its essence, in the simplest way possible, New Club is a members golf club for committed golfers. That's the best way I can put it. It's a members golf club, a new way to look at being a part of a private club, a members club. Our designation, if you will, is a private club without real estate. So that's how the PGA of America refers to us. That's how the USGA and the CDGA and the Georgia State Golf Association, that's how they refer to us, is a private club without real estate. So we have on one end a membership, a fully vetted membership of committed golfers. And on the other end, via a mobile app that we facilitate, we have thousands of playing opportunities every single year for the members of New Club. So that's what it is. That's what we do. Is we have an application on our website at newclub.golf. Members can, it's open to all. Anybody can apply. We got a membership council that reviews them, make sure that we have committed golfers, you know, people that have high content character. They have a passion for the game of golf. And then the other end, we work with hundreds and hundreds of private clubs, public courses, resorts, destinations to put together, you know, the best possible playing opportunities for that membership.
So, Matt, just in its simplest terms here, kind of, it gives you access to some courses that you may not be able to play otherwise.
Yes, you got it. That's a big part of it. But also just access, I like to say access to compelling golf, because, you know, in America, and our idea is inspired by the golf societies of Great Britain and Ireland. That's where I spent some time in college, and the golf society's concept always stuck with me. But when you think about just compelling golf, it's not always private and public. It's, you know, maybe it is playing an acclaimed private club, a Medina, on a Thursday afternoon with a group of buddies. But it also could be having that 6 a.m. start time at Mount Prospect or Ravislow or the best public golf options in the city, and having a match while you do it. And so, you know, we just try to think about what is compelling, what gets our blood going, what are the places we want to play, what are the ways that we want to play, and we go get that for our members.
So, Matt, you were quoted as saying everyone needs a community to rely on. Golfers should belong to a club. I guess my question then is, how and why did this concept start, and why you feel so strongly about that quote? And also, why Chicago?
Thanks for finding that quote. That is a very near and dear, and kind of my main motivation for this whole concept for New Club is exactly that, that everyone needs a community to rely on, whether you're a cyclist, a tennis player, or a golfer. And unfortunately in America, golf kind of lost sight of that. I'll give just like, how long is your show? Because I could give a long history here of golf societies. But I'll just start with, you know, the first ever golf club in the world, the Honorable Company of Edinburgh Golfers, the first ever community of golfers, you know, essentially started with the game at the same time, at least what we call golf, the modern game. They didn't have a golf course for 150 years. You know, most listeners will probably know Muirfield. That didn't happen for 150 years.
Wow.
All golf clubs started without golf courses. They would find a plot of land, a piece of grass to go play the game on. But what they needed most were people to play it with, people to compete with. We're in America, we love measuring ourselves to other golfers. How do you do that without a club? How do you do that without having a monthly medal every single month or having your inner club matches against, you know, members in that club, inter-club matches against people outside club? So that really is our driving force, is that only 7.3% of all golfers in America belong to a club. That's abysmal.
Wow.
So our goal at New Club is to be that club for more people, because today, frankly, just people don't think it's an option for them to be a part of a membership, to be a part of a community and a club. We're making that a real option for them. We're making that a possibility.
So, Matt, perhaps the most appealing part of what I look at New Club membership is all about the value-added components that you have built into this thing. It's really uncanny, but I think the app is what really ties it all together and makes this thing uber convenient. Can you tell us a little bit more about how dynamic the app and how important it ties it all together?
Yeah, we got this thing started in Chicago in 2017. That was the year it founded. And our first full season was 2018. I went out and looked at different technology to assist us in doing this, and there was nothing out there. So our co-founder, Mark Caldwell, thank God he joined us, because we would never be where we are today without him. But he really built our infrastructure for managing a membership without a golf course, managing a membership without real estate. How do you do that? And we had to build our own technology. So we've made a lot of investment into this mobile app. Anyone can download it at New Club. It's out on every, you know, app store, but only members can access it. And that gives them the right to, if you're a member, you have the right and privilege to book these plan opportunities that we make available in the app. So you can think of it a little bit as a booking tool, a little bit as a scheduling tool, you know, where you can just see, okay, I got a little availability to play next Saturday. Let's go look at what's happening at New Club. Let's look at what's happening in the app. You can see maybe there's a monthly medal happening that week. Maybe there's an inter-club match. Maybe there's just standard tee times at different clubs. Maybe a public course in the morning, a private club in the afternoon. And just with the click of a button, you can book it. You can secure your spot in that group. You can see who else is playing. You can see all the details, everything from where do I pay to where do I park. We're obsessed with those details, and all that's facilitated through our technology. It also communicates with the clubs and the courses and the partners that we got to get all this information over to. So it's a pretty bulky system. I'm not a tech guy, but I understand the amount of time and energy that went into building it. And so, yeah, we don't have a clubhouse, but we do have this app, and that is kind of our virtual clubhouse.
That's pretty amazing. I mean, I'm not an electrician, but I know if I flip the switch, the light's supposed to go on. And I don't know how they build these apps, but they just cease to amaze me all the time. Another thing that actually is really cool about what you guys bring as a culture, when you're vetting people, you're trying to find that type of member, somebody that you want to play golf with and somebody that's like you. And I think the culture of giving and raising money is also a big part of what you guys are about too. And in particular, we're partnering with you next month. Can you tell us a little bit about the outing on October 19th out at Dubs Dread?
Yeah, man, you got it. We are so lucky to play this game of golf. Like, if you really think about it, you know, golf gives so much opportunity to people. I mean, it's become my vocation. You guys talk about it every week on this show. You know, we are just so lucky to play this game of golf. And I think not enough golfers stop to appreciate that. You know, the CDGA, what you guys do to make golf a possibility for more people is just, it's important work. And it's needed, because golf can give so many more opportunities to everyone down the line, no matter what circumstance or walk of life you come from. And part of the CDGA, one of your guys' programs, is this Youth on Course that I was introduced to a few years ago through one of our members who was one of the very first graduates in Youth on Course. So when we started this charity classic, we did it last year in Atlanta. That's our other chapter with New Club. We did it in Atlanta, raising for the same organization. And The guys from the CDGA reached out and said, hey, we love what you guys are doing with this. We want to grow youth on course. We want to get more kids on the golf course. Let's team up and do something. And so that something is this charity classic that's going to be Saturday, October 19th, out at everybody's favorite, Cog Hill, on number 4, Dubs Dread. So we're really looking forward to the day, looking forward to raising money. And I should just make clear, this is the only new club event all season, any chapter, anywhere that we do, open to anybody, because we want to get as many people there as possible to support CDGA, to support Youth on Course, and raise some money for the kids of Chicago.
No doubt. And we're our goal mutually together here is to raise $15,000 on that day. And how do people get involved with it? Because I would love to see Dubs Dread packed, and we are celebrating the game and celebrating the expansion of youth golf, because I can't think of a better group to promote golf and change lives with than you guys on the 19th. So from our perspective, thank you. But how do people get involved?
Yeah, so we put the link out front and center for if you go to newclub.golf, not .com, go newclub, N-E-W-C-L-U-B, .golf, G-O-L-F. At the top of that page, you will see the link to Charity Classic right next to our homepage. So that link will take you to the registration page. Everything's through Golf Genius, so you'll register right then and there. You can sign up as a single. We got a ton of singles already signed up, which I think is cool because you don't know who you're going to play with, but you know it's going to be a good day. And we got new club members coming out. We got non-new club members coming out. We got new club members bringing a bunch of guests. Anybody and everybody is welcome. It's $300 for an individual to sign up. That's registration fee. It includes your round at Cog Hill number 4, newly renovated Cog Hill Dubs Dread, by the way. The bunkers are magnificent.
Awesome.
If you haven't been out yet, they're awesome. We got some premium tee gifts from our friends at Titleist coming on the way, as well as from New Club. New Club has a gift included. We got gifts from CDGA. Mm-hmm. We'll have coffees and pastries before the round, snacks, beverages while you're playing. And then afterwards, the day doesn't end, we're going to go out for it. We got lunch with awards, reception over at the Midwest Golf House, which I know you guys know very well. But here's the thing about that place that I would bet most listeners don't know. After the round, we're going to go over and we're going to play more golf. They have a par 3 course, the Bob Berry Sunshine course at the Midwest Golf House, which I never knew about. And I'm like, this is sweet. And we need more short courses in the game of golf. So that's how we're going to end the day, is with a little par 3 competition and a silent auction that will have some of the best private clubs, foursomes that you can bid on, other Chicago sports teams. We're going to have some cool auction items available for folks to bid on after that as well.
And we're going to have two Masters tickets available with private airfare out of DuPage County Airport. Let's get that. So,
bingo.
Yeah. Yep. So this is going to be quite a party. But you know what? When you say it, it sounds like it's going to be a heck of a great opportunity to just even network, let alone play golf and make new friends.
Oh, you got it. I mean, you know, we all, and I'll speak on behalf of every new club member here. Like, we want to play golf. We want our golf to be as enjoyable as possible. We want to play the best golf courses. We want to have the best round. But at the end of the day, the game of golf really does boil down to who you're playing with. And I have been blown away by especially these charity classics, people that aren't just in it for themselves. They also want to have a good day, play some golf, have some fun, but give back to the game that gave them a little something. Those are good people to surround yourself with. And that's what October 19th at Cog Hill is going to be all about.
Awesome. Well, looking forward to it, Matt. Thanks so much for joining us today. Appreciate it. And enjoy the Charity Classic coming up in a couple of weeks.
Guys, thanks for having me on this morning. It's been fun. And keep up what you guys are doing. I love this show. I love hearing about all things Chicago golf, and you guys do it really well.
Thanks,
appreciate
Matt.
It. Thank you, Matt.
Safe
Matt,
travels.
Matt Considine, founder, CEO, and director of golf for New Club. You can find him newclub.golf. And this segment has been brought to you by Tor Edge. When we come back, you played in a pretty cool event earlier this week.
Mm-hmm.
Not only did you play, you played well, my friend. I can't wait to hear about all of that. And what do you do when you're playing with someone who's just in the zone? How do you act around them? All that stuff. We'll get into that when we come back here on the CDGA Golf Show.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app. From PGA to where you should play, this is the CDGA Golf Show with Mike Gilligan and Tyler Aki, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.
This segment brought to you by Fox Bend Golf Course. All right, Mike, you were out and about. I mean, you played multiple courses last week. Was it Saturday? Was this, what day of the week was this?
This
Saturday,
was actually Sunday morning.
Sunday morning. All right.
Yes. So we were at Jackson Park Golf Association. They have an annual fundraiser. Last year it got absolutely rained out. I think it was the one day we had rain in September last year. But yeah, Tracy Raul and the rest of the Jackson Park team down there do an amazing job day to day running that place. But this is their annual huge fundraiser for scholarships and so forth. And as the CDGA, we've supported their efforts every year and, you know, bring some gifts and whatnot. So this year we were asked to play. So we had a couple of past president, our current, you know, foundation president, Al Reed and Shelley Solo. You know, we all played. And on the front nine at Jackson Park, we got to go off on the very first hole. It was a shotgun start. We were in 1B and, you know, played the first few holes, make a few pars. I made a birdie, but then I made a couple of bogeys. And so I shoot one over, which for me is pretty good.
Yeah.
Then I birdied 10 and I drove it so well, I almost chipped it in for a two. So it was a little tap in or inner. So then I parred 11 and then we went back to back par threes, 12 and 13. They're right there out on the street, you know. There was a closest to the hole. I hit it 5 feet on 12, win closest to the hole, make birdie. Then I step up on the next hole, hit it 7 feet, make birdie. So I went 2-2. So I went birdie, birdie. And then I make a par in the par five. But then I go birdie, birdie, par, birdie, finish. And when I added it all up, it added to 29. I've never in my life broken 30. And I did it for the first time on Sunday. And it was like an outer body experience. It was... Everything I looked at, the ball just kept going exactly where I was aiming it.
Sometimes you're just in the zone, man. Like, it's just, when you've got that feeling, it's euphoria, and you wish you could bottle it up.
Oh.
But, okay, couple of questions here. First of all, you mentioned there, like, you finished the round, you added up, you got a 29 on the back there. Were you ever counting?
No.
At any point? Did you ever think you were sub 30? Like, did you ever think, like, this could be a special nine here?
When I was going down the 18th hole, because I knew that the par was a little funky there, it started to cross my mind. But immediately, what I did, which I don't normally do, is I blocked it out of my mind because I needed to stay in the present. Because I hit the best tee shot of the entire day at 18, and I had to get up and down in two. And at that point, Shelley Solo said, I think you're going to shoot 29 if you can make birdie here.
Oh,
no.
Like,
oh, you just killed me. So then I chipped it up, but I was only that far away. And when I rolled it in, then Shelley goes 29. Well done.
So
and
were you keeping a scorecard or did someone else keep your
score? We had it in our cart and we were marking it down, but we never added anything up. Now, the guy in my cart, Shelley Solo, he added everybody's scores up on the front. So I did know how I did on the front.
Yeah.
But on the back,
you didn't know.
We didn't know. And I didn't want to know because that's when I usually play my best, when I don't know.
Yeah.
And that's what happened. And the weirdest part about it was, is then I was asked to go do another fundraiser up at Canal Shores in Evanston. And I had to then all of a sudden shoot up Lakeshore Drive, you know, to get up there because we got done around 2:30, get up there, throw my carts or clubs onto a cart. And everybody's like, well, I wonder if you're going to lose it between now and then. I made seven more.
Jeez.
I had 14 birdies in 31 holes. And again, it didn't stop. It just kept going exactly where I was going. And what I did is I just kept doing the same thought process, the same breathing, the same mannerisms. I didn't change anything, and it just kept on working. And it was, again, most of the birdies were all mostly just kick-ins and gimmies.
I mean,
and by far, in my whole career of playing golf, the best day of iron striking I've ever had.
Wow.
And I don't know that I'll ever have it again. But let me tell you, for that little snapshot in my entire career in golf, it was the most enjoyable afternoon I've ever had.
Yeah. I'm sure, like, when you're rolling like that, you pray that, or you hate when the round's only 18 holes at
point.
And luckily for you, you found your way to get
course.
Through another 13. But okay, I want to know, on the back nine, when you're at Jackson Park, how was the rest of the group acting? Because at a certain point, you have to know. When they're calling out at the end, like, all right, what'd you get there? And especially when you're putting it that close on your approach shots as well, people have to know. And what's the mood like within the group? How are they acting around you?
Well, they're happy because mm-hmm. we as a team are doing extremely well as a result, because we had to count our top three out of four scores on every single hole. Mm-hmm. So, you know, obviously I was doing my part. I'm hopeful that they're all kind of doing their part. But honestly, I literally had blinders on at this point, and all I could think about was, you know, you turn a little selfish in that regard. You have to.
It's weird, too, because this was a fundraising event, it's not like, oh, I'm going out and playing Glenview Park or something like that on a Tuesday.
It started out as just a little la-la-la, we're going to have some fun, and the next thing I know, as I started racking them up, I'm like, wow, it was almost like bowling. This thing's getting serious as I keep making strikes.
Yeah.
Like, this is... And I was honestly just waiting for, you know, to get stuck in that, oh, you made a few pars, you made the bogey, and then it's like, oh, okay, you know, that was a good while
fun's
it lasted.
Over,
the fun's over, but it didn't end. And to your point, what ended up happening was they got out of my way. And by that I mean, when I was ready to hit, they got out of the way. If I wanted to hit first after we got done with the hole, tee it up first, because, you know, let's say I made birdie, but if I wanted to wait and let them hit their tee shots first, they did whatever I wanted.
Yeah,
and
you became round czar.
Yeah, it's like, when do you want to hit your shot? And I said, you know what? Why don't you go ahead? I'm not ready.
Yeah.
And they're like, good. But then they're like, if you're feeling it,
step up.
And because we don't want to interrupt with the mojo.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how it was. And when I look back on all the best rounds that I've ever had, it's usually when people know it, and or if it's in a competition, everybody stays out of your way anyway.
Yeah.
But when you're playing with some friends, especially on a guy's trip or whatever, mm-hmm. and you get it going, there is so much fun when you're doing it and your friends are rooting for you to
do it.
And then now you know what the Ryder Cup and President Cup guys feel like when you actually have people that are actually rooting for you,
right?
In that sense of it. And it just gives you even more and more good confidence to have,
for sure.
and healthy, positive thoughts. And that was the other thing that these guys did, is they continued to keep talking positive about everything mm-hmm. you can do. Well, you can birdie this next one. You just birdied that one.
Yeah.
So it was like, well, yeah, maybe I can. Instead of, boy, I hope I do. But their attitude was, no, you're going to.
Yeah.
And so they actually helped with the process as I look back on
it. I know some people, they'll get into the, and again, it's kind of person by person how you want to approach it, but I know some people, they need like the pitcher with the no-hitter, perfect game going treatment, where it's like, all right, you get in your card and no one talks to you. It's just, you're kind of locked in and do not disturb, because some people need that if they're going to put together that special of a round.
Well, for me, I think when you play your best is when you are actually living the type of personality that you are out on the course.
Yeah.
If you are a talker, and I like to talk out on the golf course too, mm-hmm. if I continue to just be me, that's when I do my best. But if I try to be now, I'm just going to be quiet. I'm not going to talk to anybody.
Yeah.
It doesn't work.
Yeah.
Like I just have to just be me. And if I try to change that, it generally doesn't go well.
Yeah. All right. When we come back, and amazing to hear.
Yeah.
Sub 30. So well fun. Done. Well done.
It was so cool.
A lot of sub 30s this year on the tour and in Mike Gilligan's world as well.
So it was the second time I shot 65 this year. I shot 65 one other time out at Settlers Hill.
And you went
seven birdies there.
So you went 29, 36, and then what was the first 65? Do you remember your splits?
It was 68-67. It was more.
Okay.
It was.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, no, I'm sorry.
38. Or
how did it? No. What was it? It was. Oh, I'm sorry. 33-35. 33-32,
right? You said you.
33-35. Because it's
65, right?
Yeah, yeah. I can't even remember. Because that was way back in June.
We're asking you to do too much math right now.
Too much math, but it was seven birdies. Actually, what it was two on the front, five on the back.
Okay, gotcha.
So I can't remember the par there. That's what it was, yeah.
There you go. All right, when we come back, we will go around the CDGA. This segment has been brought to you by Fox Bend Golf Course.
This is the CDGA Golf Show, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club, ESPN 1000, 100.3 HD2, and the ESPN Chicago app. Golf is on your mind and on the air right now. This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000, 100.3 HD2, and the ESPN Chicago app. Presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.
Thank you, Matt McMaster, for listening to today's show. This segment is brought to you by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Real quick, I do want to remind everyone, you only have about 5 minutes left here to do this, but you can play Glenview Park Golf Club for just $199.95. All you got to do is call the Glenview Park Golf Club Golf Shop at 847-724-0250 and mention the CDGA Golf Show right now, and you'll get a foursome that includes carts and a dozen golf balls. Experience the best at Glenview Park Golf Club. And don't forget... actually, you didn't know, so you can't forget it, but next week it will be the final CDGA Golf Show of the year, and we'll be on at a special time. We'll be on at 3:30 in the afternoon following White Sox baseball, so you can catch us on the CDGA Golf Show, 3:30 to 5:30, right after White Sox baseball. All right, Mike, what is going on around the CDGA?
Well, Tyler, aside from the Glenview Park amazing deal that's lasting for a few more minutes, we've got Fox Bend has a great offer for $80 for two people in a cart Monday through Friday if you still want to get a round of golf in. And as always, our friends at Jersey Mike's, still $2 off any sandwich if you stop in and show your CDGA membership to any of the Chicagoland stores, $2 off. Personally, I suggest number 8 Mike's Way. It's one of my all-time favorites. And again, with sunlight, you know, being shorter and shorter, and especially if you've got those young ones that are playing high school golf and need to get some practice when it becomes dark, X Golf still has that 10% discount. They have the machines that can tell you everything, ball speed, curve, swing speed, you know, all that good stuff, launch angles. So get over to one of the 10 golf X-Golf locations in Chicago and enjoy 10%. And folks, if you'd like to be a part of the CDGA membership family and take advantage of all the variety of benefits that we've been talking about all throughout the year, simply just go to cdga.org and sign up. It's a 12-month membership, so the best time to join is right now. So for less than what it costs to buy a dozen Pro V1s, you can enjoy a membership that pays you back, or as you like to say,
pays for itself.
And that, my friend, is all I got from the CDGA today.
All right. We will be back with you next Saturday, 3:30 p.m., right after White Sox baseball here. Peggy and Dion is coming up next. This segment brought to you by Tito's Handmade Vodka.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000, 100.3 HD2, and the ESPN Chicago app.